Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, folks, remember, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, hot takes, at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. 40 minutes from now, we'll have the great Brian Baldinger on. 2 seconds from now, we'll have the great Anthony Pierno on. Hello, Pierno.
Kenny, baby, how are you?
What were you going to say instead of that? You were going to say something else, weren't you? What's
no,
going
what's
on?
What's
we
up?
Got Not our top much. Five. We got our top five subject happening here. You always pick a great one. What do you want?
Top five reasons why your job sucks.
Pierno.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Okay.
So I was watching one of these guys' movies this past week, and we're both big fans of his, and I just felt like talking about one of these movies in particular because I love it so much. So
okay.
We're doing the top five Jack Nicholson movies.
Ooh. Man, that's tough. That is tough. Jack's probably my favorite of all time. I really like Paul Newman, though. Of course, they're getting a little up there. You know, one's dead, so he's no longer getting up there. But Jack's getting up there. Who
yeah,
is my
Jack,
current...
Jack is up there already. He is up there.
Who is my current favorite? Who is my current favorite actor? There's a couple of really good ones out there. There's a couple ones I really, really like. I'm not sure. Who's your current favorite actor now?
Ooh, that's a good one. I really like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah?
He's really good.
You know who's a great actor who I don't think we give enough credit to? Like, I think the regular fans get enough credit to, but they don't give him, like, Oscars or anything, is Bill Murray. Have we talked about that before?
No,
like,
we
I think
not.
He's going to go as – like, he's been slapstick funny. He has been in some, like, seriously really good roles. Like, he is an accomplished actor, and I don't think he's ever had an Oscar. And I don't think, and now it's getting to the point where I don't think he's ever going to get one.
Daniel Day-Lewis was my favorite.
Oh, that's right. Well, now he's retired from acting.
Yeah, he retired, so yeah.
Yeah, you got to see how that one goes out there, see? So, all right, top five Jack Nicholson movies. That's going to be great. Pierno, this is going to speak to you. We went to the dirt track last Saturday. I was going to bring it up, and we just got bogged down by all this other stuff going on, and I know I got to get to the phones here.
Did you do any racing? Have you ever raced on a dirt track before yourself?
The only time I ever did, I never actually raced. I got in my buddy who ran sprint cars, and I used to help him, and it was okay. Like, it was a lot of fun. It was just very hard to do because you're running around the entire time. If you take it seriously, you're running around the entire time and making adjustments and all that stuff. And he like let me get, like, they did the push cart, and so he's yelling at me to, like, pop the clutch and everything, and I was, like, puttering around because it's just so expensive. And he's like, give her the balls. Like, do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No, no. So I kind of like puttered around one time, but that was about it. Like, I wasn't going to step on him because those things are, they're very powerful. He was in a he was in the 350 class. They had the 410s. This was at Wayne County last Saturday because I said, well, I'm not telling every, I knew we were going all week, and I said, I'm not telling everybody where we're going because people will start, no, you got to go to Attica. No, man, you got to go to Painesville. No, man, you got to go here. You got to go there. I'm like, no. I know where we're going. I'll tell you later because I ain't telling you now because I don't want to feel bad because I'm not, I can only go to certain places. Like, I'm going in July. I think I'm going to try to take Axel in July. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to go to another place. I went west. I'm going to go east. Some people probably know where I'm going, but I'm still going to go, still going to wait and probably do that. I'm probably going to do the same thing and say later on where I actually went instead of telling everybody beforehand. But hey, we had a great time. It was a great time. People watching was great. Unpaid testimonial, the concessions were sensational and sensationally priced. And the racing was great, too. They had the 410s, like I said. They had the big late models, which, like, Lima doesn't know what those things are, my usual co-host. So I'm like, they kind of look like boats, and they flip out like that. And he's like, oh, okay, I kind of know what that is. So there you go. They had the mini stocks out there, which those are fun. Those are fun to see. So Axe had a good time. I was a little concerned when we first got there because he likes monster. He likes race cars and stuff like that, but he likes monster trucks.
You ever take the kids, like, go-kart racing?
They're still too young, and he's still, I mean, he knows because of his power wheels, he knows his, like, steering and braking
and stuff
like that.
Can you just, like, stick him alongside of you in the go-kart and go?
Pierno, I don't know if I can fit in the seat, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Yeah, what are you up to now, 400 pounds?
Yeah, well, I mean, right now it's got to be up to 6 or 7, to be honest with you. No. Thank you, Pierno. Good God. Anyway, he knows some of that stuff, but at the same time, I want him to just watch because I don't want to have to pay for the expense. I want him to enjoy it. But I thought he might get a little bored because we showed up during hot laps, and hot laps are just running around. So he thought like that was the race, and he was a little bit bored. I could tell, and I was getting nervous for a second. And then the first thing they brought out for the first, like, the heat races were the sprint cars, and they had about 8 sprint cars out there for the first heat, and then they had another 8 for the second heat and another 8 for the third heat. And so then that's when he saw actual, and then he was fine with it. So he was cool with it. So he had a good time. He ended up liking that. He liked the late model. He ended up liking everything. He wanted to stay until the very end. We're like, man, your granddad's getting old, man. We got to go. He's got to go home and go to bed. So we missed the mini stock final. But everything else was great, buddy. Had a good time. Looking forward to going out to the next place coming up. So we got our top 5 Jack Nicholson movies, right? I'm going to have to think of this very, very quickly.
Yeah.
This is going to be tough.
It's tough.
I got into it about college football. I do want to mention the Titans coming up, but I want to get to Tony in Vancouver, Washington first. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Ken. I'm a Pac-12 fan, you know, and I'm sick and tired of people railing against the SEC, you know, that the Alabama schedule's weak. Are you absolutely kidding me? They play 3 teams in the top 10 every year. Nobody has that schedule they have.
Wait a minute. Are you talking local sports talk radio there, Tony? Are you talking local in Vancouver, Washington? Are you hearing people ripping their schedule locally? I don't rip their schedule.
Well, they say they play the Citadel. You know, they did take the easy way out. If Clemson was in that division, you think they'd be in the national title game every year? There'll be times
probably
they get knocked off. They don't play that schedule. Nobody does.
Clemson does because they've beaten Alabama a couple times. They do back it up. So I don't want to make an argument against Clemson.
I understand that, Ken. Yeah. But would they be consistently as good as they are if they had to run through that gauntlet? And you ain't even talking about Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, and this year was probably an example of it. And I know, you know, Trevor Lawrence had, because of the COVID and stuff like that, there was a couple of times, but he still had a good year. But, you know, you got in the ACC, it's kind of a downtrend. And when you think a team's about to, like, how many times, Tony, have we said, man, Miami's really going to get their act together? And then it just falls apart. And there's like Virginia, like you want Bronco to do well, but it's kind of still like lying in the weeds there. So, no, I can't disagree with you on what you say there.
But the SEC is there by reputation. They're not given anything. Alabama plays 3 of the top 20 teams every year.
I agree with that.
You know,
I think that's easy to agree with.
Mississippi has no chance of going to the national title game. They literally have no chance.
So what's the perfect? What is the perfect mix? What do you want? How many teams do you want?
The perfect mix would be have a northern division, a eastern division, a southern division, and a western division, and schedule teams that way. Where Ohio State could end up having to play, Penn State. I mean, they do play Penn State, but they could be a mixture where Texas and Alabama could play each other.
Well, I think I think you can still get that with a 12-team playoff. And Tony, thank you very much for the call. I still think because if you do put it to 12, it's going to make for and parity. I think, again, it's a false wish, except in college football. I think we're reaching a point now where some people do like to see some other teams in there and have the possibility of an upset. Because I don't think there's going to be any darling. Football and basketball are completely different sports in that factor, man. You can win one week. If you're a underseeded team, you can win one week. I don't think you're putting together 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think that's happening. And there's been some teams that have been a surprise. And I brought up the Boise State argument. Boise State has that great feel and that one shining moment. Oh, God. Has that one shining Cinderella moment because they didn't have to go out and play Alabama the next week or Ohio State the next week. They got one over on them. That's great. It happens. Michigan, who I'll talk about at 140 under very sad circumstances. Michigan, App State, no one's ever going to forget that one. There's always those one-offs, and that's great. But don't think because we're getting 12 teams in a college football playoff, we're going to get that. I know it's fun, and I'm talking to fans here, and fans don't care. Fans want fun. They want to be interested. They want to be able to enjoy it. And over the last, while there's been 4 teams in a college football playoff, if I'm consistently putting the same teams, and you'll say, Ken, LSU, to the rest of the country, and I know we're big in the South, guys, they just see SEC. The rest of the country, there's Alabama, and they just see the rest of the SEC. Georgia, hell, they both have red in their color scheme. They just see the SEC. That's all they see. So when you have an LSU win it, yeah, it's different. And when you really break it down, good God, I mean, they were about to fire Ed Ogeron before this, and Joe Burrow, he was the butcher's leavings at Ohio State, and he comes into LSU and takes LSU to the national championship game. Wow, what a remarkable year and story. And there's plenty of people outside of the SEC who goes, it's the SEC. They don't think about it in that case. And they say they want a fair shot for all these other places. And they want this parity. They're really not going to get it. It's still going to end up, if you got the money, you got the coaching staff that has the money to give them so they can go out and recruit, you're going to have the very best. It's put up or shut up. That's why I still wonder where Texas A&M is going to go here over the next couple of years. It's time for Jimbo to get what he's to earn his pay because he's getting paid a lot. He's putting together a coaching staff. A&M's playing big boy football with big boy money. It's time to get to where they need to go. It's time for you to show that you're a superpower. You did it with Florida State for one off in 1 year. It's time to do it there. But it's usually going to be those same 3 teams where you have Ohio State, who has 4 billionaire boosters, 4 of them, who can pay for Orion Day and his staff and pay for them to fly anywhere they need to go and bring in talent from all over the country. It is a C-to-C business for those 3 schools. And there's a lot of other places, they just can't do it. And so you'll get a place like Iowa State and Matt Campbell, who can have a great season and have a top 10 program. And if they're in the top 10, that means they're making the college football playoff. And they might get a win. They getting 3? And I say that knowing the guy and liking the program. So we're not getting true parity in that sense. But at the end of all of it, it's still going to be more fun. There's still more teams. There's still going to be arguments between all of us about who should get in and who shouldn't get in. Notre Dame's going to be out there with their one loss, and we're going to argue whether or not they deserve to be in. And if they lose to one of those underranked teams, then we're going to love it as much as anybody. Oh, well, everybody else is going to love it, even though I might not like it. But a lot of people are going to love it, and they're going to bag on Notre Dame, and that's going to be part of the fun. It's still going to be fun. It's just not going to give you the parity I think you think it's going to give you. It's still a have and have not thing. And college football is the is the example of your haves and your have-nots. 855-212-4CBS. Brian Baldinger, 1140 a.m. Eastern. Up next, top five Jack Nicholson movies. Thanks to Anthony Pierno. It's Ken Carman, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is really damn hard. 855-212-4CBS. Damn it, this is hard. This has become very, very hard. Real quick, just looking at some of the tweets. We're going to get to the top five here in a second. Browns buff, what kills me about SEC fans is this. I can never imagine rooting for Michigan in the national championship, but SEC fans can compel me to do so for the fact they would just jump on board with the rivals. If we're Michigan and Bama, I'd root for the world to end. There is a pride in the South. College football is their thing, and they feel that it's better to root for their neighbor than to root for the enemy. And to them, Ohio State is the absolute enemy. They're north of the Mason-Dixon line. They make the enemy. So while pains an Alabama fan to root for Auburn to win the national championship, you know that there were fans doing it. While it pains, whatever it may be, they want the Southeast, the SEC, the embodiment of their area, to win the college football national championship. So they might hate LSU, and they may hate each other on their game days together, but if one or the other has to go, they're going to root for it. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I don't root for the AFC North in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't do that. I agree wholeheartedly with Browns Buff here. I wouldn't do that at all. I think an ACC, would you see schools rooted? ACC's great basketball conference. Does Duke root for North Carolina if North Carolina's in the national championship game? I wouldn't think so. The SEC's a different animal, man. Brian Baldinger coming up here in about 20 minutes. Pierno asked me an impossible question. I wish I could show you my scribblings here. Speaking of a movie, I think I look like my scribblings look like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. It is the top five Jack Nicholson movies of all time. And now I gotta. Oh my God, this is hard. Now I confuse myself. All right. Here we go. I'm going to do this on the fly. Number five. Oh, God. Here we wait. One, two, three, four, five. Got it. All right. Here we go. You ready, Pierno?
Let's go.
Here we go, man. Number five. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, I'm sure you might have a couple of things, so I'm going to leave this to you to really get into the minutia of these movies. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, rented it from Perry Library when I was a kid. I saw One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest probably when I was 14 years old. It was great because then I started to get the references of, Chief, don't you want to watch the game, Chief? So I knew that this was a movie of significance. My mother, who has terrible taste in movies, for that reason did tell me, push me to watch this movie. This movie has historical significance. This is an incredible film. You need to watch this movie. I said, fine. And I'm glad I did. Number four, my mother has way better taste in music than she has in movies. Number four, The Departed. I think that goes without saying. Number three, boy, you're going to hate me for this one. Batman.
Ooh.
He, as the Joker, he is Heath Ledger's up there. I get it. No, I still think Jack Nicholson, it's my nostalgia. It's my childhood. Jack Nicholson is the Batman, is my Batman, damn it. He's number three. Number two, Colonel Jessup and A Few Good Men. Number one, The Shining. That's easy for me. Number one was always going to be The Shining. My problem was, as I wrote down Chinatown, I wrote down Easy Rider, I actually wrote down Little Shop of Horrors, and then I wrote it down again and again and again, and then I go, oh my God, Ken, Hoffa, you forgot Hoffa. So it became like this, okay, I have my top five, but number six is like a mix of eight different movies. So it made it a lot harder than what it needed to be. Yeah, but number five, One Flew Over, four, The Departed, three, Batman, two, A Few Good Men, number one, The Shining. With a bullet, The Shining. Go ahead, Pierno.
All right, so number five for me, I'm going with Easy Rider. That was Jack Nicholson's first Oscar nomination. Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper, a couple bikers heading from Los Angeles to New Orleans, and they meet some interesting characters on their journey. And of course, Jack Nicholson being one of them, this wisecracking lawyer, and he just completely steals the show. He's not on the screen much, but it's fun watching the three interact. And Nicholson is so expressive with his hand and his face gestures. He's just like fascinating to look at. He just completely steals the scene. He completely steals the show when he comes in.
True.
So Easy Rider number 5.
Another movie that I rented from the Perry Library. That's two of my top 10. Folks, support your local library. Next, go ahead.
Number 4, you had mentioned it, 5 Easy Pieces, the role that proved that Jack could be a leading man. He's a drifter. He's unhappy in life, not satisfied with life at all. Great character studies in the film. The script is excellent. It drops different hints about these characters along the way as you're trying to figure out, like, who these people are. Perfect example, early on in the movie, you see him working, on the oil rigs. But he comes from a rich family, has a musical background, and the first indication that we get of that is they're in a traffic jam. He sees this piano sitting in the back of a truck. He climbs in the back and starts playing a classical piece on the piano. It's really smart. You get told things without actually them being told to you. The script just, like, trusts the audience to figure things out on their own. And just the cinematography is really beautiful in the film. So 5 Easy Pieces, number 4. Number 3, going with Chinatown, Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway, who is terrific in it. 1930s, private detective. It's a mystery. He's trying to unravel this deep conspiracy. And you just, like, really see the dark side of humanity with what Faye Dunaway's character has gone through in her life. And just Nicholson's character of Jake. There's just so many different layers to it. The screenplay by Robert Towne is unbelievable. Some people think it's the best screenplay of all time. Roman Polanski, a terrible human being, but an amazing, amazing director. Every single shot means something. Every single shot has significance. It just moves the story along. There's a great flow to it. A lot of handheld camera shots that he used, which wasn't used a lot during that time. This movie came out in 1974, so just a lot of unique things to it. The music is great, sets the tone really early in the movie, and one of the greatest movie endings of all time. Faye Dunaway's character, she gets shot, killed, proving to the Jack Nicholson's character that just one man here is not going to be able to solve all the issues that are going on here in Chinatown. And there are so many movies that, we were talking about we talked about the worst sequels last week, and one of them was Speed, and then we were complimenting how great of a movie the first Speed is. My one issue with Speed is that after that bus blows up, like, that should be the end of the movie. Like, that's it. Like, that's where the movie ends. It went on a little bit longer after that. But, like, Chinatown, it just ends on the perfect note. It ends when it should be. One of the greatest endings ever. So that's number 3. Number 2 is the movie that I was watching during the week that gave me the idea to do this, because I just, I love this movie so much. Terms of Endearment. From 1983.
Oh, my God.
Jack Nicholson's first Oscar that he won in a supporting role. He plays a retired astronaut. He's the next-door neighbor to Shirley MacLaine's character, with whom he has a love affair with. Nicholson and MacLaine, unbelievable chemistry. Of course, the picture centered around MacLaine's relationship with a daughter, played by Deborah Winger. Deborah Winger is so frigging good in this movie. It is ridiculous. I mean, she is such a and she retired early from acting. She is such an unbelievable actress. She was in An Officer and a Gentleman with Richard Gere. The movie, she's so natural, and she has great chemistry with Shirley MacLaine's character. But Nicholson's very funny in it. There's a lot of physical comedy from him here. The dialogue is fresh. It's real. And again, there's just a great cast. You also have Jeff Daniels is in this movie, who played Deborah Winger's husband, Flap. John Lithgow is in the movie. Danny DeVito is in the movie. So Terms of Endearment, number two. And number one, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Again, you get to see the range that Jack Nicholson has as an actor, where he can go from powerful and scary to annoying to being a sympathetic figure. And just Louise Fletcher, who plays Nurse Ratched, is tremendous. And just seeing them, the two opposite people, she's structured, she's on this tight-knit schedule, she's used to getting her way, now challenged by this new patient. And he just represents chaos, and he has this aggressive personality, and now he has to live in this strict environment, and to watch them battle each other is just, it's a lot of fun. It's just amazing to see them at work. So, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, number one.
You don't have The Shining in your top five.
No, I don't.
Look at you. You're showing off.
No, I don't.
That is such a film buff show off. Look at you.
Listen,
all right.
You know?
All right. That's amazing. My number one isn't even in your top five.
We only had one similar. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Everybody, Pierno thinks he's better and smarter than me. That's how it works. Yeah, that's what that tells you. I had The Shining, A Few Good Men, Batman, The Departed, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as my number five.
Well, those are all great movies, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Make it better. Fine. 855-212-4CBS. You go put those out on Twitter?
Yes, I am.
Find them on Twitter, at Tony Pierno. This is going to be great. He's going to make me look like a total idiot. All right, coming up at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Titans fans, the end is near. Up next, Brian Boninger, NFL Network. I got Browns fans upset about Baker Mayfield with one simple tweet. When I asked Brian Boninger about that, it's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now it's the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
I got a couple of rare finds here. We have Brian Boninger joining us here, hopefully momentarily. I was just sent a video from Cool Trav on Twitter. And it's captioned, "It's a rare victory from the lower ground. The Suns in four really seals the deal. Impressive work from this guy." There was a fight last night in Suns Nuggets in the stands. And first, Cool Trav's right. I don't condone fighting in the stands. I really hate fighting in the stands. It's a bad look. There's other people around. There could be kids or the elderly involved. You don't know what's going on. Like, take that stuff out in the road. You want to go outside? Like, literally, take it outside. Do not do it in the stands. If you're going to be a guy who fights in the stands, if you're listening to this sober, remember this drunk. The high ground always wins. You always stay in the high ground. Keep your feet underneath you. Don't get caught reaching. And keep the high ground. I'm watching this fight. I got an idiot in a Nuggets jersey. And he's totally... I got to turn the mute on this because I don't know what's going to be playing here. I got an idiot in a Nuggets jersey. And he's totally overreaching. And he's got the upper ground. He's got the upper ground by what looks like two rows. You got the upper ground. He gets caught reaching, and my theory is always the same. And he just lost and he runs off. You should always keep the upper ground, and second thing is, high ground always wins, and the second thing is, try not to sit next to a guy who's going bareback in a basketball jersey. You get a bareback guy in a basketball jersey, he's there to have a good time, and then when he's done having a good time, he's going to turn it into a real bad time. Bareback basketball jersey guy is a bad ending to the night. It's a great beginning. It's always a bad ending to the night. 855-212-4CBS. We have Brian Baldinger who joins us right now on the hotline. Find him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. one of the best analysts you're going to find. And I told people an hour ago, Brian, I told him to follow you on Twitter to make sure, because they'll know exactly where their team stands, because you're one of the best in the business, and I mean that sincerely. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, joins us on the show. Brian, how you doing?
Good morning, Ken. I'm doing great. I'm, counting down the dog days here of June. We're about 6 weeks away from kicking off and going to real training camp and kind of opening this thing back up the way it used to be, and I'm getting excited about it.
You count down the dog days better than anybody else. I saw a video. Were you in El Salvador?
I was in El. Yeah, you followed me, Ken. I just got back from El Salvador. It was great.
What were you doing?
Well, they had the Olympic surf trials there at Surf City last weekend, as a matter of fact. And that was pretty cool because it was, people represented from all over the world that were there. But then, it's just a country that's really changing. I mean, they got better roads in El Salvador than the roads I'm driving on in New Jersey sometimes. I mean, it's really, like, they're kind of developing a little bit. It was great. Great beaches, cold beers, fresh fish.
Absolutely beautiful. Brian Baldinger joining us on the show. That's what I mean. Because I always see, like, you're in the ocean or something like that. I go, the guy, he does off season better than a lot of folks out there. Like, you work hard, but you really know how to recreate, and I respect you for it. Let me ask you the obligatory question. We'll just start off with it. What happens with Aaron Rodgers? Don't hang up on me. I know you've been asked a million times. What happens with Aaron Rodgers? What should the Packers do? What should he do?
Well, I was an advocate a couple weeks ago before Tennessee, traded for Julio Jones, that the Packers should enter the Julio Jones sweepstakes and get Aaron Rodgers back in there and let him join forces with Robert Tonyan and Davante Adams and Aaron Jones and go try to win it all. I mean, but that's not going to happen now. But I think the Packers are going to call Aaron Rodgers bluff. And I just think that Aaron Rodgers, age 37, I can't imagine there's any vacation, El Salvador, Hawaii, anything that's going to be more fun than playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. So I fully expect at some point Aaron Rodgers to come back and put the jersey on and the helmet and go try to get to another, NFC Championship game.
It's gotten very personal. Like Mark Murphy, and I know he's a great football guy, but when he says what he said in the thing that he wrote and about the problems that they're kind of having with Aaron Rodgers, it's starting to get very personal between the two sides. I know, like always, a relationship can be on the mend, but are we reaching a point where maybe Aaron Rodgers is too proud to go back? Like, he may just leave this thing the way it is, and maybe the Packers are too proud to welcome him back or ask him to come back?
Well, that might happen, Ken. That happens in everybody's daily life, whether it's, in relationships get fractured. Do you forgive and forget? Do you move on? Do you, let the schism remain? I know this. Aaron Rodgers played the best football he's played in a decade last year. And this thing was, whether it was the drafting of Jordan Love or just his, his disapproval of the way things are operating in Green Bay, whatever it did, it brought the best out of Aaron Rodgers, the very best. Like, that guy just has the ability to focus, laser focus, the way Brady does, the way just very few athletes can. And if that's what it does to Aaron Rodgers, then it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I think if everything was so copacetic, maybe you wouldn't get the best Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you'd just get a little bit more relaxed. He wouldn't just be as, as tense as he was. That tension created an MVP season. And maybe that's what he needs. Like, everybody's motivated by different things. And at this stage of his career, maybe that's what brought the best out of him last year.
I subscribe to a theory. Brian Baldinger joining us on the show. I believe there's players, I believe there's teams that may be so good, so successful, so legendary, that while they're in their prime, they force, not even in their prime in the context that I'm saying, they force other teams to make poor decisions because they become desperate in their own right. I thought Golden State was that way in the NBA there for about a 5-6 year stretch. And now I look at what Tom Brady has done, and then Aaron Rodgers is upset, Russell Wilson is upset. I wonder where these guys are, where you just said it. The Packers are a great situation for Aaron Rodgers. Is it the same for Russell Wilson? And do some of these guys, could you see some of these quarterbacks, these franchise QBs, because of little frustrations, making mistakes and ending up in places to their own peril?
Well, that's possible. But I think they also, are all looking at the Tom Brady effect. And Tom Brady wanted a, you know, he wanted a long-term contract in New England. They didn't want to give it to him. So, you know, he really did his research. He knew that Tampa had what it took in order to – nobody else did, I don't think. I mean, I didn't see a Super Bowl championship caliber team in Tampa in 2019, but he did. And I think a lot of these quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson specifically, and they look at what Tom Brady did and goes, I could do the same thing. You put me in the right situation, I'll go win your championship. And, I mean, you give me the right talent and the right coach, and I'll go win you one. I'll show you how to do it. And I think when they all watched Tom Brady do it, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, Bruce Arians was calling him out week one in a two-interception loss to, you know, the New Orleans Saints. But by the end of the season, they'd kind of figured out, you know, what the offense is and how it was going to work, and they learned from some mistakes. And I think both these guys that you just mentioned look at Tom Brady and go, that's what I want to do. I'm going to go win another championship someplace else.
I'm going to name four quarterbacks right off the top of my head that have been controversial here, and I want to hear what you think they're going to do in 2021. Number one, Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I think Ryan Tannehill is, you know, the loss of Arthur Smith, now we got to see how that is. I mean, I thought he was a great coordinator. He saw the strength of Ryan Tannehill and played to his strengths. But I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to fall off the cliff at all. I mean, I think with Julio there now, along with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, he's got more than enough to work with to stay at and play at a high level and get him back to the playoffs.
Kirk Cousins.
Well, they got to get past Green Bay, and they've had a hard time doing it. The defense was the worst defense Mike Zimmer ever had last year. The offense was outstanding. And he's got two bona fide receivers, and he's got maybe the best all-around back in football in Dalvin Cook. I expect Kirk Cousins to play at a high level this year.
Derek Carr.
They were top 10 offense last year, and nobody wants to give Derek Carr any credit. But, I mean, Darren Waller is a superstar in large part because of Derek Carr. So, look, this Henry Ruggs thing has got to work, Ken. It's got to work. It was awful last year. He could not take what he was doing in practice, which was all world, and he could not take it to the field. They need him to be Tyreek Hill. And if he can be, then I think Derek Carr has a chance to be a top 10 offense again and, you know, maybe win 10 games this year.
Final one, Baker Mayfield.
I mean, Baker showed you in a disciplined system with the best offense line of football that he's a quality player. And they did it last year in large part without Odell Beckham Jr. And I know that he was going to be a big part of the offense. He was until the day he got hurt. And so I expect Baker Mayfield to be at the top of the charts. 30-plus touchdown passes, fewer than 12 interceptions, and a playoff team.
Brian Baldinger joining us, NFL Network. You know, I look at Tennessee – and you just mentioned you mentioned about what Ryan Tannehill did. I think in a lot of ways he might have been underrated. We'll see what he does without Arthur Smith. Baker Mayfield at times I think is a little underrated because of what he did with Kevin Stefanski this last year. Both these teams are built to win a lot of games in the regular season, running the ball, doing it on the ground, that type of thing. What are the questions that either a Ryan Tannehill or a Baker Mayfield, and even a Lamar Jackson in the postseason, how about that, have to answer going against Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, maybe even Justin Herbert in 2021 in the AFC postseason?
Yeah, the AFC is going to be a bear. I mean, you just mentioned the quarterbacks and teams. And look, I mean, you can say what you want about Lamar Jackson. He knows what he's got to do. He's got to win in the postseason. They're probably going to lead the league in rushing. He's going to be an MVP candidate. But you got to do it in the postseason. I mean, Peyton Manning struggled, you know, early on in his career in the postseason. Got bounced out of some, you know, I mean, you got to win the postseason. That's how all these guys get measured. That's how teams get measured. That's how quarterbacks get measured. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. And so they all know what they got to do. Baker knows that, you know, the postseason, you know, beat Pittsburgh, you know, a floundering Pittsburgh team doesn't do much for them. They got to go beat Kansas City, you know, when they get a chance. And so that's what we're up against. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, it looks like it goes through Buffalo and Kansas City right now. And until it doesn't, until somebody upsets them. But that's kind of how it's set up right now.
Give me a dark horse team that's going to surprise people in 2021.
I think the New York Giants have a chance. I mean, defensively, they were really good last year. I think they've addressed some things offensively. If the offense line comes together, they had about a six-week stretch last year where they played really well. But if you get Saquon back and the offense line comes together, I know defensively they're going to be a good football team. That coach, Patrick Graham, he's going to be a head coach in this league. I'd say the Giants have a chance to be a dark horse. We know that the division isn't strong. I expect Washington to win it. But I expect the Giants to be highly, highly competitive this year.
Do you believe we need voluntary OTAs?
Well, I think OTAs are really important for young players.
Yeah.
I mean, none of these guys have seen what an NFL playbook looks like. There's a whole list of techniques and fundamentals you got to learn that you got to put in your toolbox. And the offseason is important to a lot of these young players. Look, a guy, a Travis Kelce probably doesn't need any, and probably the best thing he could do is lay on the beach and get rested for the season. But for the most part, any player, a Mekhi Becton, he needs the offseason. He's got to still sharpen some tools. He could be a perennial Pro Bowl left tackle in this business, but I think he needs work. So young players need to work. They need to learn how to work, and they need to learn their systems. We got a lot of new coaches, a lot of new coordinators in this league. You got to learn the system. In order to play fast on Sundays, you got to do it without thinking. And the best way to do that is to really rep your business, in the off season.
He's one of the best. Follow him on Twitter, @BaldyNFL, Brian Baldinger, also an analyst, Compass Media Networks, here with the Odyssey app, Fox Sports, the whole thing. You got to pay attention to him. Brian, thank you for the time, buddy.
My pleasure, Ken. Anytime. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. Brian Baldinger on the hotline. Fantastic stuff from him. I wanted to ask him about those four quarterbacks for a reason, especially with Ryan Tannehill. I'll get to that here in a moment. With what he says about the Giants, it's very much put up or shut up with Daniel Jones. We certainly know that. And I will get to the Packers situation coming up here later on, because everybody's got to have an opinion on it. I think that the Packers have made their bed. I think that they have to lay in it. And over with Las Vegas, if I'm going to bring up Aaron Rodgers, part of the reason we don't talk about Derek Carr is because of John Gruden. Because John Gruden is consistently, while he's great on Sundays, every other day of the week, every offseason over the last now 3 years, is constantly flirting with other quarterbacks. They had a top 10 offense in the league. He was right about that. Henry Ruggs last year was a mess, and Justin Jefferson didn't make him look any better. But you have a top 10 offense. There has to be credit given. Yeah, offensive line play was great last year. We'll see what they return in 2021 with all those changes. But with a guy like Derek Carr, we don't talk about him, and it's simply just because who his head coach is. Because his head coach doesn't want to talk about him. Coming up at 12:20 p.m. Eastern, work or shoot. Mark Medina talks hoops with us at 12:40 p.m. Eastern. Up next, the end is near, Titans fans. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.